For sure. I first want to thank Mr. Kunstler for inviting me, and I'm always happy to share a Divrei Torah with familiar faces, with new faces. I just want to give a warning. I'm not Gedalia Shore. I'm not Rav Nissen Alpert. I'm not Rav David Cohen. I'm not at the even at the ankles of those Gedolim, but perhaps in the few minutes we have together, the next half hour or so, we can share Divrei Torah, and perhaps we'll walk away with something that is useful for us at the end of the day. In this week's Parsha, we find a conversation between Avram and HaKadosh Baruch Hu about what's going to be at the end of days. Hashem wants to make a bris bein habasarim, a covenant between Avram Avinu, and to make him the father of the Jewish nation, to get him going on this massive project, this big project to start the Jewish people. And Avram has a few concerns about what's going to be in the future, and one of those concerns are, Bama Eda, how am I going to know what's going to be? So there's a lot of discussions in the Mefarshim, a lot of discussion in Rishonim and Chazal. What is Avram's concern? Bama Eda, what's going to be with the Jewish people in the future? And this will chap anaf kamina halacha l'maisa for something that perhaps some of us are familiar with, but we want to talk the rest of the evening, and perhaps we're not familiar with, but we should be familiar with in our own tefillah, in our own davening. Let's listen to a gemara here in Megillah, the end of Megillah. The gemara also repeats itself at the end of Tainus and Daf Chav Zayin. Says the gemara, Amar Avram lifnei Kadosh Baruch Hu, says Avram Avinu before Hashem, Ribono Sholam, Hashem, Shem Achas V'Sholam Yisrael Chotim Lefanecha V'yata Oseh Lehem Kedor HaMabu V'Kedor HaFlaga. Maybe the Jewish people, they're going to sin Hashem, and you're going to wipe them out, you're going to start from scratch again. How do I know the Jewish people are going to have a get out of jail free card in their pockets that's going to help them when times are rough? Amar lo, lav amar lefanu ribono sha'olam b'ma'eda amar lo, kachali agla mishulasha. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram Avinu, you want to know what the answer is? Korbanos. That's why Avram goes and takes all these different sacrifices, because korbanos, the offering of sacrifices, are how the Jewish people have the ability to wipe the slate clean, have kapara, to do tshuva, and start again. Amar lefanu ribono sha'olam, says Avram, I'm not done. That's very nice. Teinach b'zman shebeis hamikdash kaim. That's all well and good when we have a beis hamikdash. But what's going to be in the future, says Avram? What's going to be in the future when there's no Beis HaMikdash and the Jewish people don't have a place to offer korbanos? What's going to be our go-to saving? What's going to help us in that time when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash? Matiya Alein, what's going to be with them? Amar lo, kvar takanti lehem seder korbanos. I established for the Jewish people the order of saying korbanos. Kozman shekorin behem. Whenever you simply read about the korbanos, when you read the parshas of the korbanos, ma'ale ani aleihem ki'ilu makrivin lefanai korban u'moch ani al avinoseihem, it is as if you have brought the korban to the Beis HaMikdash. You read the parsha of the Chatas, you read the parsha of the Asham, you read the Korban Tamid, it is as if you have taken a sheep, taken a cow, schlepped it all the way to Yerushalayim, gotten everything ready for the Kohen. The Kohen does the Halavoda, and the blood, and the fats, and the meats, and even the whole thing. It's as if you did all of that if you just read about the Korbanos. You study and learn about the sacrifices. There is a similar but different Gemara in the end of Menachos and Daf Kuf Yud. The Daf Yomi should be up to there soon, eventually. But this is a very famous Gemara. It says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Maidichsiv Zos Torah Sachatos Zos Torah Sashem. How come it always says this is the Torah of the sacrifice? Why does it just say Zos Chatas? This is the sacrificial offering. Why does it have to be called the Torah of the sacrificial offering? Says the Gemara, Kol Ha'osik B'Torah Chatas, whoever is involved in the learning of the Korbanos, Kilu Hikriv Chatas, and it's as if you brought that Korban. This is the source in the first Halachos in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Aleph. The Shulchan Aruch talks about the recitation of Korbanos. So what I'd like to do is discuss the halacha, the minhagim, the importance of reciting the Korbanos every single day. If you have the time and you have the ability, and if you're not, the importance of adding that part into the Siddur, a little extra davening never hurt anyway. The Gemara says in Brachos Halavai that we should daven all day. So a little extra davening is not going to hurt. And let's talk about the importance of Korbanos, what the messages of reciting Korbanos is, and what we can do to say it a little bit better as well. The Beis Yosef, when he cites this, Rav Yosef Karo, in his major work, cites both Gemaras. Even though each Gemara might be interpreted, one is talking about reading, one is talking about studying, the Beis Yosef doesn't differentiate, and he says this is the source of reciting Korbanos at the end of the day. But we see that the minhag of many people, many chashuv people, many fine, upstanding, holy Jews, is that they don't say Korbanos every day. And why is that? We have Gemaras, we have a din in Shulchan Aruch. Why is it that people don't say Korbanos? So the Tshuva Chikrei Lev, one of the Sfari Gedolim, writes in the first Tshuva, he says that don't Talmidei Chachamim, even very big Talmidei Chachamim, Tzadikim, they don't recite Korbanos every single day. And he says that these people don't want to take away from their Talmud Torah. They're so busy learning other things. They're doing the Daf, and they're learning Mishnah Berurah, and they're learning Musar and other aspects of Hashkafa. They don't want to take away from that and to recite Korbanos. That's very good for them. But what about for the rest of us? Maybe we're not learning Torah 24 hours a day. So then what's our excuse in not saying Korbanos? Next comes the Leil Chaim, another great Gadol as well, Sfardi Gadol. He rejects and he says everyone has to say at least something. What is that thing everyone has to say? And that is the Parsha of Ezehu Mekumen. Ezehu Mekumen is a series of Mishnayos. Generally what happens is, right, you say Brachos in the morning, and then you skip like 30 pages, and then there's Mizmor Shir. So inside of those 30 pages that you flip through very quickly are Korbanos. So at the very end of that section, there's a parak of Mishnayos. And in that parak of Mishnayos is Ezehu Mekumen, which is simply a description of how the Korbanos are offered in the Beis HaMikdash. There's a great legend as to why that parak was chosen to be the way we open up the day. Why do we learn that piece of Torah? So the legend is because that is it's the only parak, it's the only chapter in all of Mishnah and Gemara where there's no machlokas. We want to begin the day with everybody agreeing. At least we should start the day with no fights. What happens after davening, you know, that's up to you. But at least within davening there should be no fights, no machlokas. Some say that parak of Mishnah goes all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe was the one who wrote those Mishnayos first. So they say, at least if you're not going to say all the Korbanos, at least say that paragraph, at least say that chapter of Ezehu Mekumen as well. The Orchos Chaim, Rav Aaron of Lunel, one of the great Rabbanim of France, so he writes in his Halachos as well, that Ezehu Mekumen was enacted to read and learn about the Korbanos, and this is also the opinion of the Baal HaTanya, the first Rabbi of Chabad. In the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, he says, Mikol Makom, Mishi Eish Lo Leiv, Liol Mod Lahavin, Ein Lamar Afilu Parshas Korbanos B'chol Yom, Elo L'Prak. If a person can, at least you should say that section of Ezehu Mekumen, which summarizes and goes through the basic halachos of the Korbanos as well. However, comes the Shuvas Yafa Lalev, and he asks the Shulchan Aruch, and all the poskim say you should say the Parshas of Korbanos. How do we simply cut out a whole section of Shulchan Aruch? A whole section of Shulchan Aruch that people say, oh, I don't do that. I don't recite Korbanos. What does that mean? So how can we dismiss it? So he quotes a very interesting idea from the Chidah. Rav Chaim Yosef David Azulai, one of the great Sfardi Gadolim as well, he was the Shliach de Rabbanan of the Jews of Yerushalayim. They sent him all over Europe to collect money for the Jews of Yerushalayim in the 1700s. He records all of his travels. The Chidah actually wrote a journal of all of his places that he went. He went to zoos. He loved going to zoos. He was a big fan of the zoo. He went to libraries. He went to visit other Gedolim. He went to see manuscripts. He had fascinating journeys. So the Chidah is recorded to have written over 100 Sfarim. All different topics. No, he didn't reuse any material. All different topics. So the Chidah has a parish on Tanakh called the Chomas Anach. So in the Chomas Anach in Yeshayahu, he cites the Rabbi Yitzhak of Munkach, the Rebbe of Munkach, who said that we recite, how many brachos every single day are we supposed to recite?
100
brachos every single day. And in addition, in the paragraph of Baruch Sha'amar, we recite the word Baruch 11 times. So 100 plus 11 is, easy math, 111. Parshas Vayikra in the Torah has 111 psukim. So he says, if you recite 100 brachos every single day, and you say Baruch Shamar, then it's as if you recited the entire Parshas Vayikra. And therefore, it's like you said, all the Korbanos. That's very cute, and it's a nice idea, but that's how he wants to explain why people are not so careful in reciting Korbanos as well. Now, at the end of the day, if you had to choose one thing, let's say you said tonight, you know, Rabbi, I'm not ready to recite all Korbanos, I'm not quite there yet. What would I start with? What's the most important Parsha of the Korbanos to say every single day? So in addition to Ezehu Mekumen, but what Parsha, that would be the Korban Tamid. The Korban Tamid is the parsha we read on Rosh Chodesh Tzavis B'nai Yisrov Yamar Talam is Korban Ilach Mei. The Korban Tamid, that short paragraph, is the thing that a person should choose. The Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Baal Tanya, writes, Nahugu Kol Yisrael, V'kovu Chova Al Atzman. It's as if you have to, the Jewish people establish, the Krosh Parshas Tamid B'chol Yom Kod Matzvila. So if you say, I'm not ready to say all of Korbanos tomorrow morning, at least the Korban Tamid, the daily offering that was offered every single day. Perhaps many of us are familiar with the famous Medrash that is cited nowhere except in the introduction to the Ein Yaakov, Rav Yaakov Ibn Chabiv, who says, they asked the Rabbanim in the times of Chazal, what's the most important pasuk in the Torah? So we have a few, right? Shema Yisrael, things like that. So one of the Tanaim get up and say, what's the most important pasuk? They brought a sheep in the morning for the Korban Tamid, and they brought a sheep in the afternoon. Inspiring? I don't know about that. I wouldn't, put it in gold across the top of the base medrash. Why is that the most important pasuk? So the Maharal explains, because consistency, that's the most important thing. Every single day, the same Korban, day in, day out, doing what we have to do, get up and going again for another day, doesn't have to be fancy, but the most important thing in the eyes of the Torah is consistency. Being there every day, doing whatever it is that you do. Now, I want to show you three differences we find in halacha between the Korban Tamid, the reciting of that daily offering, versus everything else. The first is, by the laws of Tisha B'Av, we know that in Tisha B'Av, it's usher to learn Torah. Can't learn Torah in Tisha B'Av, except for two types of things. Things that are sad, they relate to the destruction, and things that are part of your normal Seder Hayom. Things that are part of your normal daily davening. So included in that, the Shulchan Aruch says, Korbanos, on Tisha B'Av morning, a person is allowed to say Korbanos, because that's something you say every single day. Says the Mishnah Berurah, not true. Not all of Korbanos. What's the only thing you can say from Korbanos, says the Mishnah Berurah? The Parsha of the Korban Tamid, because that is super. It's extra. You have to really put an effort to do that. The second source is the Shibol Yalekit, one of the Rishonim. He says that it's strange, right? On Musaf, on Shabbos and Yontif, we have a whole section where we talk about the Korban of that day, right? And we just went through all the Yom Tovim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres. There's that place in Musaf where we read about the Korbanos. So, says the Shibol Yalekit, why don't we do that in davening every single day for the Korban Tamid? Why, how come there's not a section in Shmoneh Esrei where we say, and today we would bring the Korban Tamid? Why don't we do that? We do it by Musaf. Why don't we do that by the Korban Tamid we bring every single day in the Beis HaMikdash that Shachros is supposed to take the place of? So it says, Yeshiva, I like it, we do. Because you're supposed to say Korbanos in the morning, and you're supposed to say the Korban Tamid. And therefore, that's how you fulfill it every single day. The third is the Rambam. The Rambam wrote a Siddur. Where's the Rambam Siddur? Does anybody use the Rambam Siddur? No? The Rambam Siddur is in the back of his halachos in the Mishnah Torah. He wrote out by hand what he thinks the Siddur should look like. It's much shorter than our Siddur. Not that you should start using it, but he has a much shorter Siddur. So the Rambam writes in his Siddur, the Rambam mentions nothing about reciting Korbanos. The only thing he says is the Korban Tamid. The Korban Tamid you should say every single day. So we see, not one, not two, but three places where we see that there's Korbanos are important, because again, we want to reflect on the message of Avram Avinu, to remember the Beis HaMikdash, but above Korbanos is the Korban Tamid. It's super. It's better than all the other Korbanos as well. The Chida writes in the Shuvas Yosef Omates, he says there's actually no chiyuv to say Korbanos at all every single day. You don't have to, but it's certainly very important to do it, and it's something that a person should try to do as well. Let's move on now. Let's say you said, well, let's get a start on it right now. I couldn't say Korbanos today, right? It's too late now. Maybe I could say them tonight. Am I allowed to say Korbanos in the nighttime? Why would I say no?
No Korbanos.
We don't offer Korbanos at night. Korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, what do they do at night? They lock it up, and they put the key away. The Beis HaMikdash is closed at night. There's nothing going on. So why should I say Korbanos at night? So, what?
The Eivarim.
Good. So that's like more of like a Mariv thing. That's more of why we daven Mariv. But to go and say, how could I talk about the Korban Tamid when, that's already gone. So the Gemara in Megillah says in Daf Chaf, and the Mishnah in Yuma says, Korbanos only offered during the daytime. So the Tshuvas HaRash, Rabbeinu Asher, we know the Rush is that mix of Ashkenazi and Sephardi. The Rush was the student of the Maharami Rothenberg, who was put in jail to take a ransom for the Jewish people in Germany. And when he was taken to jail, so his prime student, Rabbeinu Asher, had to flee because they were going after him next, and he fled to Spain. So the Rush is kind of like this mixture of Ashkenazi and Sephardi together. He kind of balances both worlds. So the Tshuvas HaRush writes, in Dalet Aleph, he says, Korbanos should only be said during the day. And the Beis Yosef says, Korbanos are offered during the day. So you say Korbanos during the day as well. The Prima Gadim notes that the Torah says it's proper to say Korbanos during the day. Why is it only proper, he says? It should be not allowed to say Korbanos at night as well. So the Bach says if you recite Korbanos at night, there's no schar of reciting Korbanos. You and that whole Gemara about Avraham Avinu, it's not going on right now. It's Talmud Torah. It's great that you're learning Torah, but it's not reciting of Korbanos, says the Bach. I heard once from Moshe Weiss, and he says that those Shitos that are who feel that perhaps it's not so important to say it during the day, feel, there's a big machlokes when you recite Korbanos. Is it as if you're actually bringing your Korban, or is it just like a nice thing like a Korban? The Gemara in Shabbos says that there was a Tana who, when he was Mechal Shabbos by accident, he turned the lights on and off on Shabbos once, he wrote down in a notebook, when Mashiach comes, I'm going to bring a big fat cow as a korban, because I turned on the lights on Shabbos. I have to make it up. So they ask a question on him, why didn't he just read the korbanos, and then it's as if he brought it? That would be a simple answer. Why is he making the whole list? Can you imagine if we had to keep a list on our phones or on a piece of paper of all the korbanos we have to bring when the Beis HaMikdash would come? For some of us, myself included, it's going to be a notebook. It's not going to be a list. We have a lot of things that we have to fix. So why don't we just, why is he writing lists? Just recite korbanos, and then he cleans it up. When Mashiach comes, you'll have other things to worry about. Why do you have to bring korbanos? So the answer is, it must be, that it's nice, it's like that you're reciting korbanos, it's like bringing a korban, it's not actually that you actually did it at the end of the day. There's a sefer from Rav David Svi Karelenstein, who's a Rav in Bnei Brak and Eretz Yisrael. So he writes in the sefer Magali Tzedek, that maybe there's a difference between the tamid and other korbanos. The korban tamid, he says, that has to be only during the daytime. Because the korban tamid is about the offering of the daytime. The other korbanos, the asham, the chatas, all those other korbanos, he says, so technically I could bring them at night, it's just that the Beis HaMikdash is closed, so I can't. So maybe the korban tamid we have to be more careful about, other korbanos, not the case. But at the end of the day, I would recommend saying korbanos only during the day, not at night. So if you don't do it during Shacharis, then find another time during the day, but not at night. Let's turn on to the next thing. Do you have to stand when you say korbanos? There's a lot of standing and sitting during davening. So is this another place where we have to get up and sit down, get up and sit down again? So Rav Shmuel Yosef of Krakow, in the Olas Tamid, which is a sefer on Or HaChaim, so he says that korbanos should be recited while standing. Why? Because the Gemara in Zevachim says, when you offer the korban, you have to stand. There's no sitting in the Beis HaMikdash. Who's the only person allowed to sit in the Beis HaMikdash? The Melech. Only the king can sit in the Beis HaMikdash. But nobody else is allowed to sit. So therefore, you have to stand when you say korbanos. So the Hagos Yad Aaron on the tour, he heard this idea from the Arizal as well. The Sefer Shalmei Tzibor says that we find nothing the sort in the writings of the Arizal. The Arizal says nothing. He thinks the Arizal actually says the other way. The Arizal says you should sit for the korbanos. Because the Arizal says, if you're saying korbanos and they get up to Kedusha, then you have to stand up. So what does that mean? What were you doing beforehand? You must have been sitting. So the Rizal says, you sit during korbanos. So the Mata Yehuda on the Shulchan Aruch says that standing for the korbanos is a chumra ba'alma. Very, very firm people. They stand for korbanos. But you don't have to stand for korbanos. And he says, what ruins the korban? Let's say, for example, I am not a Kohen. It's just the way things work out. You can't be perfect. So I'm not a Kohen. So I go to the Beis HaMikdash and I go to offer a korban. Right? And let's say I sit the whole time throughout the korban. I say I'm having an obstinate mood today. I decide to, be difficult. And I sit the whole time in the Beis HaMikdash. Is the korban still good if I sit? So the answer is, yeah, it is good. What if the Kohen, who brings my korban, he sits while the whole thing is going on? Is the korban still good? No. The korban is no good. So listen to this. So maybe the Aruch HaShulchan writes, as we'll see in a second, who has to stand for korbanos? Kohanim. The Rav Nevardik says that Kohanim have to stand for Karbanos, because they have to stand when they bring Karbanos. But the rest of us, we're good. We can sit, relax, and have a good time. The Gateshead is a famous yeshiva in England. So Avram Gervitz, who's the Rosh Yeshiva in Gateshead, he has a beautiful sefer called V'Anfeha Arzekel. So he writes in the second volume that this machlokes fits into another machlokes regarding korbanos. Do we say that the person who's reciting the korbanos is like the kohen who offers in the Beis HaMikdash, or are you like the owner of the korban who is bringing the korban at the end of the day? So he wants to give different sides which way. The Maharsha says one way, the Gemara seems to imply another way, but at the end of the day we see, you have to, what's your kavana? When you are saying korbanos and you close your eyes, what do you imagine that you're doing in the Beis HaMikdash? Are you the priest who's bringing the korban, or are you the owner of the korban? What's going on in your head when you are reciting the korban? So it would seem to be that if we're sitting, it means that we are like the owners. Kohanim, I have a chumra for you. But the rest of us, we're certainly allowed to sit at the end of the day. At the end of the korbanos, there's a yiratzon that's recited. Yiratzon should be that this recitation of the korban is like that I brought the korban. So there's a whole discussion as well. I don't want to go into it too much, but there's a whole discussion about, let's say, when you say the yiratzon, let's say you don't know if you sinned. Okay, you're not sure. So why am I saying yiratzon that I read the parsha of the chatas, the sin offering, I read the parsha of the asham, I have a doubt if I sinned, why should I say the Yiratzon? I don't know if I sinned. Maybe that would be improper. So you should say the Yiratzon, you shouldn't say the Yiratzon. I don't want to go into that too much, but it's part of the discussion as well. I want to move on to the last two discussions here, and that is Korbanos and Shabbos and Yantif. Shabbos and Yantif, we have extra time. You come to shul a little bit early, you have a late davening, so you have extra time to say Korbanos. Should we be reciting Korbanos on Shabbos and Yantif? Because in the Beis HaMikdash, on Shabbos and Yantif, there's only two korbanos that are brought. The korban tamid and the musaf for that day. So maybe we shouldn't be reciting other things. Whatever, it's Shabbos, Friday night, whatever. You turn off the lights by accident on Shabbos. You'll say, tomorrow morning, I'll come to shul, I'll recite the parsha of the chatas, and then I'll be good. But maybe that's not the right thing. Because on Shabbos, would you bring a personal korban chatas? No, of course not. You wouldn't bring a chatas on Shabbos. That's a weekday activity. So Rav Chaim Ben Avista writes in the Knesset HaGadola, and he says that one shouldn't say korbanos on Shabbos, and he says other people say you should say korbanos on Shabbos. They cite the father of the Shla, Rav Yishaya Levi Harwitz, the father of the Shla, and the Sefer Emek Bracha, that you should only say the korban tamid, you shouldn't say anything else as well. The Magen Avraham cites the Shla. There's a big machlokas back and forth. Did the Shla's father say this? Did the Shla's father not say this? We weren't there, so we're never going to know the truth. But they have a whole debate as well. Should you recite those other korbanos on Shabbos as well in this regard? And better to say, he writes the Tshuvas Leiv Chaim. Listen to this. Rav Chaim Palagi writes, you're going to come to shul on time. What time is shul starting on Shabbos?
9:15.
Yeah. Whoa. So I am dabbing in the wrong place. So so you come to shul on Shabbos. You come to shul early. You have time to say korbanos. So what am I going to do? It's Shabbos. So I say the korban tamid. I'm going to say musaf later on. There's extra time. A friend walks into shul. Am I going to either daven a little bit more, or talk about, you know, what happened last night, you know, in the game, or whatever's going on in our nation's politics? So what am I going to do in shul at that time? So says Rav Chaim Palagi, is it technically right to say the Korban Chatas on Shabbos? Is it thematically correct in the theme of the day, or the Korban Asham, or the Ola, all those things? No, it's not. But says Rav Chaim Palagi, I would much more prefer you sit in shul quietly and say a few extra korbanos than sit there and talk dvar, masurim, lashon hara, other things in shul. Better to say extra korbanos, fill the time, a much better use of your time. It's Shabbos and a korban chatzas isn't brought? Whatever. You get up to Shemayim, no, that'll be your biggest issue. Everything else is fine, it's just that you said the korban chatzas on Shabbos. You know, that'll be your only issue. So he says, say it, don't talk dvarim betalim, don't talk dvarim yisurim, don't speak lashon hara in shul, go say the korbanos, it'll be time much better, well spent later on.
The
yiratzah we don't say in Shabbos, correct. Rav Yaakov Emden in his Siddur says you should skip everything else. You should skip the Akedah, other things as well. The Mishnah Berurah says you can say the Parsha of the Akedah on Shabbos, but the Minhag is not to say it. The last thing is, I see we have a mixed crowd tonight. Women. Should women have to say the parshas of Korbanos. No. We're hoping not. We're gunning for a kula. So let's see. Comes the Beis Yosef. So comes the Beis Yosef. Comes Maran, the Beis Yosef, and the Shulchan Aruch, and Simon Mem Zayin. Mem Zayin is the section in Shulchan Aruch that talks about making a Birchas HaTorah in the morning. Hopefully everybody here makes a Birchas HaTorah in the morning as part of the Birchas HaShachar when we get up in the morning. So he cites the Baal HaEgor. The Baal HaEgor is one of the great Ashkenazi poskim who cites Rav Yaakov Molin, who is Gedolei Gedolei Ashkenaz. Much of our halach and minhagim come from Rav Yaakov Molin, who said that women should recite Birchas HaTorah. Why is this even a question that women should recite Birchas HaTorah? Because one of the Birchas HaTorah is Asher Kedushanu B'mitzvos V'tzivanu Lasok B'divrei Torah. And we are aware that there's a p'tur. Women are technically exempt in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The Gemara in Kedushin says B'neichem V'lo B'noseichem. Women are exempt in Talmud Torah. Kol Hamar B'Reizim Meshubach. We want people to learn as much as they can and much as they want. But your p'tur, women are exempt in Talmud Torah. So how can a woman go and say, Asher Kedushanu B'mitzvosav V'tzivanu Lasok B'divrei Torah? It's not true. Women were not commanded in Talmud Torah. Isn't that a bald-faced lie to Hashem? It's not true.
Doesn't mean Lil Moses.
What does it mean? It means more than Lil Moses.
Be involved with.
But that's even more. That's even greater.
I know, it's even greater.
It's even greater. Excellent. Even greater question. So I had a Rebbe in high school. He's now a Rebbe in a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. So he used to tell us that the word Lasok is not related at all in English, but he would always imagine Lasok is like to be soaked. You should be soaked in Torah. Lasok with Torah means that you're drenched in Torah, that you're totally enveloped, completely subsumed in Torah throughout the day. So what does it mean? Lasok to be a kasher kedushan mitzvah sivanu. So he says, what's the answer to this? Tefillah is in the place of korbanos, and women have to say korbanos. And if women have to say the parsha of korbanos, that means they can say asher kedushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu. Women have to say korbanos. That's what Yaakov Molin says, and therefore that's why they make a birchas haTorah. And this is the opinion of the Magen Avraham. Comes the Sefer Chassidim, and he adds on to it. The Sefer Chassidim writes, this is in Simon Shin Yud Gimel, and he says a father must teach his daughters relevant halachos. It's true that women are patur in Talmud Torah, but women have to know practical halacha. They're chayav to learn the halachos they need to know to practice as a Jew. It doesn't mean that women have to go and learn, you know, chulin, menachos, those masechos that aren't practical. But women need to know hilchos Shabbos, and hilchos tefillah, and hilchos kashrus, all things they need to know to live as a proper Jew. So it says the Sefer Chassidim, fathers must teach their daughters halachos to make sure they are relevance and with the times in being a good Jew. And he cites a Gemara in Sanhedrin. This is the Gemara at the end of Sanhedrin Daf Tzadi Dalet. In the days of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, one of the last great kings of Israel. So Chizkiyahu HaMelech, his day was so great. The Torah was everywhere in his days that all men and women were experts in Tum and Tahara, the complicated laws of ritual purity. Experts, men and women, says the Gemara. Because it was relevant then. The laws were relevant at those times. And then the Sefer Chassidim has a version of the Gemara that we don't have. And it also says the women were experts in the laws of Kadshim, the laws of Korbanos. The women were experts in the laws of Korbanos. And even though Kadshim are not relevant nowadays, it would imply that women should certainly recite the Parshios of Kadshim because they are potentially relevant. What happens if Mashiach comes tomorrow? What are the women going to do if they don't know the laws of Kachim? How are they going to bring korbanos? How are they going to know what to do? This is Rav Yosef Shal Nathanson as well in the Sholem Meshev. However, comes Rav Yaakov Emden in the Mora Ketzia, and he questions this because women are only really chayev to bring two korbanos, and that is a korban after a woman gives birth, and also a korban if a woman becomes tamei in a certain type of way. Those are specific types of korbanos. When it comes to tefillah and the chiyuv of tefillah, they're required rachamim and mercy from Hashem like everybody else, but who says they have to have korbanos? The chida. So he comes and he attacks Rav Yaakov Emden in the Tshuvas Yosef Omitz in Siman Samach Zayin, and he says that the Rambam says that women are chayiv in korbanos. And he says women don't have to learn about korbanos, but there's no chiyuv for men to say korbanos, and even more so for women. And the Leiv Chaim argues on the Chidon, he says that women are chayiv to bring korbanos, they should certainly have to learn and recite korbanos as well. The Prima Gadim says that by the Korban Tamid, it says Tzavis Bnei Yisrael to exclude Benos Yisrael, and he has a reason why they should be exempt as well. And the entire discussion is problematic, though, because the Shulchan Aruch says that Korbanos are recited during when, as we proved before, which time? But more during the which time? The night or the day? The day. So what does that mean, the reciting of Korbanos? A mitzvah asay shazman grama. It's a time-bound mitzvah. That's pashut. So if the Shulchan Aruch says it's a time-bound mitzvah, then women should potentially be exempt as well. The Mishnah Berurah says, as we said before, you could say it later on, but that doesn't apply to the Korban Tamid. So Rav Karel Einstein writes again that the recitation of the Korban Tamid has two aspects. One is to mimic the Korbanos, and the other is to reflect tefillah in general. And based on this approach, the Tamid is a form of tefillah, then it's appropriate that women should recite the Korban Tamid as well. The Shulchan Aruch Harav concludes, and he says that men and women should recite Korbanos, and other poskim say that as well. So it would come out halakha l'maisa in this regard, that certainly women have what to rely on to not say Korbanos, but if I could implore any addition to the siddur would be the Korban Tamid, which is like, as we said, the king of Korbanos. We should try to grab onto that as well. So just to summarize and to bring us all together at the end. Avram Avinu pleading for his children to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, what's going to be with the Jewish people? I see darkness, I see a time of uncertainty, how is it going to be for my children? And Hashem said, you have Korbanos. And if you don't have Korbanos, you have the recitation of Korbanos. I would say, perhaps the least we can do as a Karas HaTov to our grandfather Avram Avinu is to at least use the tool that he gave us. He asked Hashem for something special to keep us going through the Gullus, to let us connect even just for a few seconds a day to a world that was, to the Beis HaMikdash. The least we can do is to take advantage of that, to add for a few extra seconds, a minute, whatever it may be, some of the Korbanos. All of the Korbanos, it's a lot. I understand. I don't say all the Korbanos. My shul, we daven at a nice pace. I can't say all the Korbanos. But I would love to. But we can't. So pick something. Learn about the Korban. Recite the Korban. Say it in English. Whatever it is speaks to you. The Korban Tamid, Ezer Mekumen. Something to connect us to the world that was, to the base of English that we don't have, but we should have, hopefully speedily, in our days. And we'll sit with Avram Avinu, and we'll bring the Korbanos again, and we'll sit beyachad and celebrate at Tzibur with the rebuilt Beis HaMikdash. The Neshama Shav and Aliyah, and Shugom Mechayel Lechayel, and Megane Neshama Elohim.